You are listening to the Intercoastal Podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Intercoastal Podcast brought to you live from Beaufort, South Carolina. We've got Rob here with us again, and we're really excited to talk about film today. Right, Rob?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's perfect timing. Beaufort has been in the backdrop of some films, and people always ask, you know, where can I view these scenes? Where can I see these things? And then there's a little interesting side notes of different stories and how they intersect with daily life in Beaufort, South Carolina. So it's kind of cool to go through that. And, you know, we share this with our visitors when they come in who are interested in recognizing certain aspects of the city. And they want to know, hey, where's this film? Where's that film? And it's a fun conversation to have. So we can jump right on in.
Oh, I bet. I know I was looking at some of the films that were filmed there. And obviously, I feel like Forrest Gump is probably one of the most iconic ones.
It is. Yeah, cool. You're right. It is. And there's great stories behind it, right? There's all these little, you know, nuggets that you find out and, you know, about the story. So, yeah, so some of the scenes are filmed in Port Royal, just off the Port Royal Sound. And some of the scenes are filmed, the Vietnam scenes are filmed. The jungle scene where you get shot in the buttocks.
Right.
That's filmed in Hunting Island, Fripp Island area. And so a lot of people ask those questions and want little tidbits. So a lot of the locals had interactions with the stars during that time period. I know there's a great picture that a lady from our area, she was being married at the Methodist church, and she's gathered out front with her father getting ready to walk into the down the aisle to be married, and a car pulls up, hops out. Tom Hanks grabs a picture with her, gives her wedding gift and of a picture with him, and hops back in and leaves. Stuff
That's
like that.
A pretty happened. Cool wedding gift.
It's kind of cool, right? Those scenes happen all the time, and it was such a fun little stories that pop in and out. Where the chocolate tree downtown are the chocolates that are in Forrest Gump's box of chocolates. And he had his favorites that he wanted to take and those type things. But yeah, Forrest Gump is very much a staple here. There's some other good ones that people kind of know about. I will tell you this. There's a local park that people play soccer, kickball, softball, baseball. It's one of those. It's called Basil Green. And it's actually the football field where Forrest Gump is mowing on his little snapper.
Oh, hey.
And yeah. The scene is there. You can tell when you're at that place and in different parts of the park. And so it's kind of cool to be a part of that. But, you know, there's a lot of other good films that have been filmed here. Prince of Tide being one of those. You have G.I. Jane. Full Metal Jacket was filmed on Pierce Island. Parts of The Fugitive were filmed in Beaufort as well. Forces of Nature, I think, was another one. I don't know where that falls up. But yeah, The Jungle Book, I think you had mentioned in conversation.
My favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. There you
My
go.
My childhood.
And then, of course, The Legend of Bagger Vance, which I thought was an interesting time because it's filmed throughout the Lowcountry, not just in Beaufort. It's filmed throughout the Lowcountry. And there's a handful more that resonate with different people. And really, The Big Chill was kind of the one that kind of set it off. Prince of Tides, Big Chill. People come to town and want to know where the Big Chill House is. And so there it is, a part of the tour that you can take. And we have several tours, walking tours and bike tours that you can get to some of the sites and see those. And it's interesting because we have right now a release of a movie that was just recently filmed in Beaufort called Stars.
That's always exciting.
Yeah, Stars Fell on Alabama, which is set to release here shortly, and we're kind of getting excited. We're seeing some of the trailers come out now, and we're posting some of those trailers on our social sites just so people can kind of get a sense. But it's one of our first movies that we've had filmed in the area here recently, and we're just excited for it and people to kind of get a scene, because as people will tell you, Beaufort may not be the lead, but it definitely steals the show with being the great backdrop that it is for most of the movies. And so that's a pretty cool way of getting out there.
I definitely think so. And that's really cool. I know I was actually, as we were talking about the films and like Forrest Gump specifically, I was like, that's probably one of the movies that Utah is also most iconic for because of his run across the nation. And we have like Forrest Gump Hill, but the majority of it was filmed in your location. So it's kind of fun to see that connection between like Beaufort and Utah where we have.
Yeah. It's awesome connection. I mean, those scenes are pretty awesome to go through. It's funny because the bridge that he runs over, it says he's crossing the Mississippi River, is actually the Beaufort River. It's the swing bridge.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. It's the swing bridge right here in town. And, you know, there's all these, you know, stories of the sign being left up and visitors coming to the area. And they're like, wait a minute, the Mississippi River's here? Like, no, we're just filming a movie.
Confuses them.
Yeah, it kind of gets that way sometimes. But, yeah, really cool. Good connection there. Great connection.
Oh, that's so cool. And then you guys also have an awesome film festival that you do every year that I was looking at earlier as well. And we were talking about, do you want to kind of talk about that?
Well, sure. Yeah. So the Beaufort International Film Festival is a celebration in February of each year. I believe the one in 2021 is February 16th through the 21st. And it's a tremendous growing film festival. When I first got to town, it was, you know, it had plenty of participants, but now there's, you know, hundreds of submissions each year of producers and film developers and directors submitting their work to be a part of it. And what we have seen is that during that time period, people from all over will want to be a part of it. I was recently voted one of the coolest film festivals in the world.
That's incredible.
It is, and it's a wonderful time because the way that it's set up is that you go and you buy your passes and you go and visit and you get to sort through the films that you want to participate in and want to watch and see, and it has a little bit for everybody. And, you know, I've caught myself going to watch, you know, some local developers and some of the movies that are produced there and seeing how that signs up. And then you can see the ones who use Beaufort as a backdrop in some of their films. And then you have some that are just submitting for showing. And there's some pretty great times to have. It's actually a fun time of year anyway to be in Beaufort. Weather's kind of mild. People are kind of moving in and about, and the film festival has such a huge draw for our area. And if you're looking at finding a time to come to Beaufort and you're looking for different elements, maybe in this given age, you're looking to 2021 for travel plans. I would put the film festival on that bucket list for 2021. And being that it's far enough in advance, you can make some necessary arrangements for February of 2021. And, you know, that would be on my list of things to do for next year. And what a tremendous festival in general. But it's a good time to see the area.
Oh, I bet. So I have a question. The film that Beaufort was just in, do you guys get a special showing at all since you were a big part of it? Or do you just get to wait for it to come out like everyone else?
I think that they have some launch plans that they were planning. Given the situation and circumstances, I think they're going to kind of do some releasing locally and with different participants. It may not be open to the public as they may want, but we're still working through some of those. Our film commission is still keeping us abreast of what is happening. And when that launch takes place, we'll be there to celebrate it and celebrate just in general the movie just being filmed in the area. And that is something you always find here in Beaufort. Another movie set in Alabama, filmed in Beaufort, which is
wrong state, but you
falls
know,
right in line with the other ones. Yep, that's the way it works. It's the way it works.
It's good to know. Well, now whenever I see a movie that I fall in love with the scenery, I'm going to have to go double check and see where it is because I've like seen movies.
Well, it's a good point. I mean, so I don't know. Do you go to IMDb and check the movie you're watching? So do I. And you know what? My first thing I check is I check where it's filmed.
That's actually one of the same things I do.
Yeah. I just want to know where it's filmed. What am I looking at? You know, and then if there's a question in conversation about where else is that, you know, that person been in or that star has been in, I'll look at those. And of course, now in this season of life with my family, it's animated. So there's not really a film setting. So it's usually what voice is that, who's commanding that voice and what other voices do they do? And,
right.
But yeah, I check scenes. I check the film locations. And a lot of that is built because Beaufort, Port Royal, and the Sea Islands has been the backdrop for a lot of cool movies and movies that people recognize. And then they, once they recognize the scenery, they can kind of get a glimpse and imagery of what really we have in our small town.
Which I think is awesome. It's something that you're kind of proud of, right? Like, you just feel a little bit of hometown pride every time you see one of Beaufort's backdrops in a movie. I feel like that's how I would feel.
Oh yeah, no, it's definitely that. It's definitely one of those situations where you do feel a little bit of pride in how that works out, right? And so I'm excited about you know, what happens next in movies and how we can go from there. So
right. No, that'll be cool. I was actually just thinking, the movie The Sandlot, about the kids that play baseball. A couple of the scenes are actually filmed in my hometown in Utah, and it's not a very common place at all to have like films or movies. And every time I watch that specific scene, I'm like, hey, that's like down the street from my house. And I always kind of get excited. So I can only imagine how much cooler it is when you're actually in a lot of movies. And then you mentioned earlier as well that some of the people in Beaufort are actually like extras in some of these movies, right?
Oh yeah, and that's been the case, and you know, over time, and it's like I said, it's different, you know, for different movies, but yeah, in this particular case, the one that's coming out, Star Stolen Alabama, we have several locals that are extras in there, and you can recognize some very loadable scenes in the movie. You're gonna recognize downtown right off the bat, and it's just one of those things. You're just like, oh, that's very cool. I recognize there I've actually shopped in that store, or I have, you know, that kind of thing. And it's kind of cool to be a part of that and see how those play out.
No, that's incredible. Like, I can only imagine how awesome that would be. I feel like if I was an extra, I would just spend the entire movie just being like, where am I? Where am I? Got to find myself. I'd get too distracted from the actual plot.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. I mean, I've never been cool enough to be in a movie. Or even an extra, but I get to promote a destination that has been the backdrop for plenty of movies, and that's easy, and it shows right. Very well, and it just works out in the end. So we're excited about that.
That's really cool. Sorry, I'm kind of jumping around, but I just had another question about the film festival, actually. So in Utah, we have a film festival as well that's kind of like that, and sometimes we have like bigger names that come. Is that something, because it sounds like yours is growing and also gaining a lot of attention, do you have like bigger names that come and like do showings or like brand new openings and new releases at all with movies and films?
Yeah, I think there has been some names that may not be recognizable to me, but in the film world are pretty important, and they do release some of their projects here. And while it's gaining notoriety as we move forward and as it grows, I think you'll see more and more of that. It's just part of that film circuit. And so you have a lot of different folks who are providing those things to it. You know, there have been some big names that have come, or some names that are very close to the area. And I want to emphasize that, because we have our best of winners, those type things. There are certain things they collect, right? And one of those is, you know, the Pat Conroy, you know, Lifetime Achievement Award. And it goes to different people who have ties and roots back to the area. And it may not just be our area, but it may be South Carolina in general or the Low Country. And so you've had people from Pat Conroy himself, who the author wrote, you know, two books that ended up turned into movies, and the Prince of Tides and the Great Santini, and both were filmed in this area. And he lived here during his time. And Pat Conroy's that's a whole different conversation and a whole different podcast. We can go on forever. Because, you know, he was tremendous aspect. So, yeah, Andy McDowell, who has ties to the Low Country. You have some others that have been a part of it. And those are some recent award winners. That can go, and they may not have movies coming out right now, but they have been a part of the film festival. So it's interesting who submits each and every year. They do some wonderful activities throughout the year, with their shorts at High Noon films, and their screening schedule that you can find. And then the film guides in general, who's releasing what, I mean, that's kind of the film festival's approach to it. It's not just while it's highlighted during one specific week in time frame in February, they actually do things throughout the year to stay in front of different people and have people, you know, be a part of it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It is really cool.
Awesome. Well, we've talked a lot about the different festivals, and I feel like, you know, what always goes well with movies is food.
Oh, yeah.
Either you eat before, you eat after, sometimes you have stuff during. But in this case, you have another awesome recipe that you sent my way that I think we should definitely talk about.
Oh, yeah. Well, we you know, there's a lot of different cookbooks out there. And one of the Low Country Sea Island cookbooks that I have in my in our kitchen has a tremendous recipe for what we call the Low Country Chicken Bog. And it's one of those southern rice and meat combos that has its origins in both West Africa and Spain. And, you know, most people know like jambalaya or perlu, right, or something of that nature. But this has a little bit of different, as it's as hinted by its name. It's more of a wet dish, kind of a stewy rice, as opposed to a fluffy rice, which is where the bog comes from. And, you know, it's a very South Carolina dish. And so it kind of looks different for different folks, but there's chicken involved. There's sausage involved and rice, which are staples that we, of course, go into it. But right, then you go into the different layers, and that's where the Low Country version comes into play. I know that in our house, there's more chicken and rice and sausage than what some other recipes call for. And that's because how you cook it, you know, the different goes into it and adds the different flavors. And so you got the caramelized onions and adding in different layers in your broth so that it has the ingredients. And of course, we hint ours with some Gullah Grub seasoning that we have here it has a little of a hint of coastal flair to it. And what ends up happening is you get this bog that kind of comes together with this, all these ingredients that are basically being prepped and stewed together at this one time. And so it changes. And so it can be seasonality. You could substitute chicken out of it and just go with shrimp. And being that it's brown shrimp season now here in South Carolina, you know, that may be what you put in there. And you might go with a little Low Country bog with, instead of chicken, throwing in, you know, a shrimp, a fresh caught shrimp. And so that's what we do at our house. And then that's something that we go out there. So basically you're going in there with chicken or pheasant of some kind of bird. I would recommend white onion. I know people use yellow onion. There's garlic and rosemary and thyme and, some people use paprika, smoked paprika. I mean, you can. We go with our Gullah seasonings, and that seems to do the trick. The biggest part is the rice that you're going to use for the bog itself. I would go with a long grain rice. Some people can go with a medium grain, but long grain works best, in my opinion.
Okay.
And you know what? You're gonna need some butter. Because that's going to make it work. And then going from there.
Always need the butter.
You do. It kind of goes into that. Make sure that you get your chicken broth with your chicken and your seasonings done first. And then you're going to put that into the rice at some point over the course of time. And my thing is that to get the broth working well, it's going to take a while. This is not one of those, I'm in a pinch, I need to get this thing done. I wouldn't do that. Uh-huh. The prep time on this is probably, I'd say, an hour and a half, 2 hours. The cook time is going to be 40 minutes.
Okay. So,
you see what I'm saying? Like, it's going to take some time. So, carve out, you know, make it a Saturday meal for friends coming over, and you want to have experienced the Low Country without being in the Low Country. I would go with a Low Country bog. It could be chicken bog, shrimp bog, however you want to go. It has some different ingredients in it that will make it. You can't have too much sausage in it. I just want to point that out. As both my daughters and my family will tell you, you can't have enough sausage in it. And, you know, this is a different version than the low country boil, as rice has been added to the mix and you're kind of letting it simmer, but the time frame is important. So We have recipes that we can share, as always, and we would definitely share those with you. But if nothing else, find it online. Find an authentic South Carolina low country chicken bog recipe. Mix in shrimp if you'd like. Just always remember that it takes less time to cook the shrimp than it would the chicken. So you may adjust your timing from there. Right. I don't want to lead you astray. But this is as low country as it gets. And it definitely has its roots to some Gullah cuisine, which we tend to highlight more often than not here. And being that this thing has West African and Spanish kind of allure to it, and to it, it's going to be that kind of in that palate. You're not gonna be upset with right. the end product if you follow the instructions all the way through. But it is a great South Carolina dish, and one that I recommend to people who are trying to get some of that low country culinary cuisine in their week to week. This is a good one.
Oh, it definitely sounds like it. I also like that it kind of has that flair from like the different countries that you mentioned as well. So it's definitely your South Carolina dish, but it's like got a little bit of history behind it.
It does. And, you know, most of our dishes are going to be somewhat inspired from outside, right? So if you're looking at yeah. some sort of low country dish, it's going to have some sort of Gullah element. And from that, it's going to have, that means it's going to bring mm-hmm. in some of those elements from West Africa to it. And what ends up happening is that you see that these different portions of the food in the palate, they're rooted in a lot of what's in season right now. What makes sense from a palate standpoint. I like a little bit more spice than some others, you know, like Old Bay. Old Bay is a great season, right? You can use it on a lot of different things. So
right.
we have our own versions of those. They're kind of rooted in those Gullah spices. And so if you're looking for some of those, you know, they're you can find them throughout the Beaufort area, and you can find them online, the Gullah seasoning that we use on those. And they provide a certain level of kick to it. And they are using a lot of those, you know, West African blends and bringing that to the table. And it's absolutely fantastic.
Oh, I agree. I mean, just from hearing about it. And once again, my mouth is watering like always. That's usually how these podcast episodes end, is with me going, I need to go
yep,
eat
I
now.
Hear you.
But that sounds so good. Well, thanks again, Rob, for being with us today. Is there any last things you want to tell everyone about the film festival or about the low country bog recipe?
As with anything, if people are looking for those recipes, we can make those available to you guys. You can either email me or you can go online and hit us up on Twitter at Visit Beaufort or on Facebook at Visit Beaufort Port Royal and the Sea Islands. Just drop us a message. We'll send you the recipe. You'll find it those and a lot of other recipes that we discussed here. And when it comes to the film festival, February 16th, as the start date in 2021, I think it's a great time and a great time of year to visit Beaufort. I would put that on your list of things to do.
Oh, definitely. And if you're from a nice, cold, snowy place like me, that sounds like a great getaway in the middle of winter, especially in February.
Sounds great.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And we hope that you all have a great day. And thanks for listening. And please don't forget to leave a review or subscribe. This has been another episode of the Intercoastal Podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Natasha Lai and produced by the Relic team.